All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Before we start, did everybody get the handout? There was a handout today? If somebody didn't get it, raise your hand. On definitions of dharma. Who is passing it out to the men? You have one for him? You gave him? Okay, you have some extra? I think Maharaj didn't get also. Everybody get this handout. Okay, do we need some more handouts? If somebody didn't get, raise your hand and we'll get some more from Adi Purusha. So let's, you got it. Extra? This is extra? Somebody didn't get, we have one extra. Definitions of Dharma. Okay, this is called Definitions of Dharma. Definitions that Srila Prabhupada gave at different times for dharma. Okay, we don't have an extra one, so you can get it from Adi Purusha in case you don't have. I think everybody got except maybe Adi Purusha. You have one. Okay. He comes prepared. Okay, so let us offer our prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yusha Sarva Veda Sarvara Sarva Siddham Ratmaya Sarva Lokhe Kajitara Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Chancha Chitarita Shri Krishna Parivajita. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned among us. Amananta pataya prema vashaksharaya te sarva sarva sevyaya Shri Krishnaya namostuve. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Hare Kabanta Matsangi Makuro Man Maharana Manishta Rakta Matpagya Madananda Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Sat sat tataye ati cha chataraka hanaman chakrachima pelahi kantayasvara. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tata Jayam Udirayet Nashtapayesha Bhadishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashoke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, verses 1 to 10. Vyas uvacha iti sambrashna sanhishto vipanam ramaharshini patipuja vajastesham pravaktum upachakrame. Translation: Ugrishava, Shuta Goswami, the son of Ramaharshana, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply.
Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langayate girim yakipam tamhambam Aum agyana timrandasya gyananjara shakaya chakshuminitam yena tasmai shi.
In the beginning of the first chapter, Śrīla Vyāsadeva says, Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya, offering his obeisances to his Ishtadev, Shri Krishna, and glorifying his qualities. And then the sages of Naimisharanya, they worship Sutta. They say, Vitta tvam somya tatsarvam. Because you are submissive, you've got the blessings of your spiritual masters. So they are also worshipping Sutta. And they said, we accept you as the captain of the ship which desires to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali. So now, in these first verses of the second chapter, Sutta will worship his guru, Shukadeva Goswami. So thus the line of parampara is continuing. Inspired by the great eagerness of the sages, Sutta will also speak and he will answer the first two questions of the sages very, very quickly in verses 6 and 7. And then at the end of the chapter, he will answer the last two questions. The second two questions of the sages. And then the last two questions that will be answered in the third chapter. Because the sages were aware, as we know, of the fallen condition of the future generations of the people in this age, they were concerned that Sutta give them the essence. So Sutta is going to give them the essence in very, very few verses, the essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti, in very few verses. Because the sages, they're searching for the truth, and they're searching for Krishna now that Krishna has left the planet. So they want to know how to find Krishna. In two verses, Sutta will explain Paradharma. Then in two to three verses, he'll explain Kaitava Dharma and what is the goal of life and how Varnashram is meant for pleasing Lord Krishna. And then from verses 14 to 22, he will explain how we should act in relationship to the absolute truth. Now we know what is the truth. How should we act? Verses 14 to 22. And he describes the process from shraddha to prema and how we attain love of Godhead, what stages, what levels we go through. Then after that, he describes different types of worship, worship of demigods. But he explains that shreyamsi, what is the best thing, the ultimate good, is to worship Vishnu. Then at the end, he will describe the Purusha incarnations and why Krishna comes. Actually, Krishna comes, Prabhupada explains in the purport, to create within us the desire to go back to Godhead. This is the purpose of the incarnation. So we'll get to that later. This is a preview. Today we're going to do these first two sections, Sutta worships Shukadev and what is real Dharma. These first two sections shown here in this picture. And tomorrow we'll do the third section of chapter 2 and how to relate to the absolute truth. So that will be tomorrow. Tomorrow, actually, I think on your schedule it says up to verse 17. We will only go up to verse 16 tomorrow. And then we'll do 17 to 22 on the next day. Because those verses are really together. They should be taken together. So verse 2, verse 1 and 2 are together here. Sutta uvacha yam pravajantam anupetam apetakrityam daipayano virahakatara achuhava pucheti tamayataya tarava pinedus tongsarva puta vidyam munim anatosmi. Translation: Śrīla Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, oh, my son, indeed, only the trees which are absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved
father. Sukadeva had a glorious birth. Actually, of course, most of you probably know the story that he didn't want to come out. So he stayed in the womb for 16 years. Poor mother, I was thinking. 1 year is quite enough. Anyway, he was determined not to get entangled in Maya. So when he finally came out, he took sannyas. He's the youngest sannyasi in history of the world. He took sannyas at birth. Left home. Here it says in the Sanskrit, pravajantam. Pravajantam means you leave home in the renounced order of life, parivajakacharya. So he left. Usually, we have to go through so many sanskaras according to the Vedic system. In the Vedas, it is said, janmana jayate shudra, that everyone is born shudra, sanskarad bhaved dvija. And by performing the reformatory ceremonies, the sanskaras, one becomes a dvija, twice born. Then vedapatad bhaved vipra, by studying the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. Brahma janatiti brahmana. And if you actually understand what is Brahman, you become a brahmana. So Shukadev, he didn't go through any ceremonies. Anapetya. Anapetya means without the sacred thread. Upanayanam, it is said, that the sacred thread brings you closer to the guru. And so he didn't care about guru or anything. He didn't even care. His poor father, he's crying, and he didn't even look back. He didn't even care who his father was. Incarnation, Krishna. Didn't look back. Who is my father? Who is my... He didn't care. Took sannyas. It's very heartbreaking for the father, mother. You don't even get to see your child. And so this is Shukadev. Sannyas. Real sannyas. Vyasadeva was not so renounced. He was running after his son, crying, "Oh, my son, please come back." So then verse 3, we'll hear some more of the glories. Why Shukadev is qualified. Ya swanubhavam akila shuti saram ekam adhyatma deepam atititi shatam tamantam samsarinam karnaya apurana guyam tam vyasunam upayam igurum maninam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadev, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. So this Sanskrit words, swanu bhavam, in Prabhupada's lecture, and according to this verse, Prabhupada gave three definitions of this Sanskrit word. Here we see the definition in the Sanskrit is assimilate, self-assimilated, experienced. And Prabhupada said, so this is one, that you must assimilate personally the Vedas. Another definition Srila Prabhupada gave of this word, sanubhavam, personally convinced. You are convinced Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And another definition Srila Prabhupada gives in his lecture is appreciating or understanding the nature of God. And Srila Prabhupada said that in our level, even we may not be as convinced or as assimilated, self-realized as Shukadev, we can appreciate the nature, we can understand the nature of Krishna. So this is our level of realization. We can see, we can look around us, we see the sun as his eye. We can see how Paramatma is acting to control everything. So this is our level, we can appreciate how Krishna is working through the devotees, how he is working in this world. So anubhav, swa anubhavam. And he is also shuti saram. He knew the essence of the Vedas. He knew the cream. And the cream is Bhagavatam, shuti saram. He knew Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, vedaishya sarvam aham eva vedyo. I am the essence. I am the goal of the Vedas. So therefore, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that this verse is also a summary of the first three verses that we heard, Galitam Phalam, the fruit, the ripened fruit. So now we're hearing Shuti Saradam and Guyam, the most confidential essence of the Vedas. So Bhagavatam is also described as Adhyatma Deepam. So Deepa means light, the light. So what, with this light, what can we see? Adhyatma. We can see Atma with the deep, with the light of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see Atma and Paramatma with Srimad Bhagavatam. So why do we need a light? Because here it says, Tamon Dham. We're in ignorance, we're in darkness. This material world is dark. If it wasn't for the sun, we would see the real nature of this material world completely. It's a shell, seven coverings. It's darkness, very dense darkness, antam, tamontam. So in the darkness, we need a light. If we're in a tunnel, if we're in the dark, we need a light to get out. So unfortunately, we're in the dark, we're in ignorance, and we need Srimad Bhagavatam to get us out to the spiritual world. If we want to see Krishna, we have to see through the light of Srimad Bhagavatam, Adhyatma Deepam, Adhyatma Deepam. So, who is this light for? Who is the light for? Here, Sutta says, Atiti Tirshatam. So, Titirshatam, this means to surpass, to overcome, to get out. So, Ati means desiring. So, for those who desire actually to get out of this material world, Bhagavatam is Adhyatma Deepam. So, some people may say, why should we get out? It's a very nice place. We can make it a better place for everyone to live. Just stop pollution, grow more trees, be nice to everyone. But Prabhupada says in the purport, this is paragraph 2. Srila Prabhupada says, if anyone tells you that, there is no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. Prabhupada says, very heavy. You can't be happy. Some people say, yeah, no, everything's all right. It's nice. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or an insignificant ant, can be happy. No way. So everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled. Prabhupada says, and he describes how they try to enjoy. The unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. The problem is they don't want to get out. This is the problem. They don't want. Unfortunately, they're so foolish, they don't want to escape. They don't want to escape from this world. Prabhupada describes how they enjoy the taste of their own blood. To the materialist, his own blood is as sweet as honey. And although he's always harassed by his own material creations, he does not wish to escape. What's some example of being harassed by your own material creation? Pollution, okay, from the cars, yes. Children? You don't have children, so you don't know. Yes, you see others being harassed. Oh, right, okay, so she's got first-class intelligence according to Parvati. Just by seeing, she doesn't go through it. Others have to go through it to perceive the misery and the suffering. Right, okay, Darshan, do you have your hand up? Three kleshas, yes. So what is the own creation? That's very true, actually. Children do harass you. You're harassed by your own creations. Yes, what else? What? Atam bam. Yes. Psychologically, we're harassed by the atam bam. Yes. Material body. Yes. This is the first creation. Yes, Prabhu. Modern conveniences. Yes, you have to pay. You have to work hard and pay the bill to get all these things. It doesn't stop. Now my son has one computer. He wants two. And for that computer, he needs so many things. So it never, there's no end. There's no end to the... You get what you want, but it doesn't stop. Just like it says in Bhagavad Gita, kam, krodh, lobh, right? So your lust is satisfied. Or if, first of all, you have lust. Then if it's not satisfied, you're angry, krodh. And if it is satisfied, then you want more, lobh. So you just can't get out. You can't get out. So this is... They don't want to get out. This is a problem. But Srila Vyasadeva, being incarnation, could foresee the misuse. Oh, okay, so now Vedanta Sutra. So the karmis, they don't want to get out. The gyanis, they feel tired. Only a very few desire to get out of the labyrinth. So they are called gyanis. So Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta Sutra for them, but unfortunately they misused it, so therefore he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is spoken by Shukadev Karunayaha out of his compassion for these miserable living entities. He's also called Guru Muninam, not simply Guru, but Muninam, Guru of the sages. When he came to the banks of the Ganga or Jamuna, whichever way you look at it, everyone stood up out of respect for Shukadeva Goswami. So now we'll have our prayer that we say every day. Narayanam namaskritya narancaya narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, this Bhagavatam was spoken by Narayana Rishi to Narada Muni long, long ago. Long time. Don't ask how long, because they didn't say. And then he taught it to Vyas. So here's another way of understanding this is a disciple succession. Our disciple succession, of course, Brahma explained it to Narada. And we'll hear about this in the second canto. According to Bhrijam Prabhu, I listened to his tapes, he said that Nara and Narayana are the presiding deities of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Saraswati is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the purport, last two sentences, Srila Prabhupada said, this is how we must chant the Puranas. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers. Chant these verses before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. It is especially meant for those who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently. And if we recite, if we always Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then we will conquer. We will cross over this ocean, material existence. So verse 5. Munaya satu prista hambavad pirlokamangalam akritakrisha samprasno yenatma supasidati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So it's talking about questions and answers. We see all around us there are questions and answers in newspapers, everywhere. So when Prabhupada was commenting on this verse, he told how his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, used to write a newspaper explaining news of the spiritual world. So this is very relevant. The question is about the spiritual world. It's about Krishna. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was publishing a daily newspaper on the spiritual world. So one big politician came to him and said, how can you publish a daily newspaper on the spiritual world? And so he answered, yes. Actually, this material world is only 1/4 of the whole creation. Spiritual world is 3/4. And in this material world, there are innumerable universes. And each universe, there are innumerable planets. Each planet, innumerable cities. And each city, so many newspapers. So why can't we have newspapers of the spiritual world? You'll have 3 times as much in the spiritual world. And he said, not only that, we could publish a newspaper every minute or every second of the day. Problem is, there's no customers. So this was relevant questions and answers. We'll find that in the spiritual newspapers. We'll find that in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sutta is very happy when a devotee gets a chance. When he's asked question, he's very happy to speak. This is his happiness. A preacher's happiness is when somebody asks you a good question, a really nice question, and you can and you know the answer, and you can answer it. So sadhu, very nice. This is lokamangalam. This is auspicious for the whole world. Krishna, because it's a Krishna samprashna. So this is in the purport, paragraph 3. Now this paragraph 3 is very, very wonderful. You can probably find many, many sentences in this purport which you can quote, which are quotable. Practically every sentence has got some essence in it. So I'd like to read this paragraph. Prabhupada gives us wonderful news about the spiritual world. Prabhupada says, Krishna is our most intimate master, friend, father, or son, and object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. all things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction only. So if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers, because Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna. We can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-round solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. So very poetic, beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. He gives many, many essential statements in this purport. And if you ask these sort of questions and you hear about the answers to these questions, yenatma supersedeti, you can become completely satisfied. Now there's so much advancement in science and education, but who is satisfied? Nobody is satisfied with these things, because we're missing Krishna. Just like here in this Vrindavan temple, sometimes you're sitting in the temple and you're chanting, and you see a small child gets separated from his mother. And he starts to look around, and he's searching for his mother, and he starts crying. And you go, you take him by the hand. You want a sweet? No. Oh, my mother. And then you take him to somebody. Is this your mother? No. And you take him to another person. You keep taking. Finally, you find the mother, and then he stops crying. That's how we are in this world. We're going from one person to another, searching for happiness, searching for satisfaction, searching for Krishna, basically, and we're not getting it. So therefore, we're not satisfied. Not until we get Krishna, until we're the lap of Krishna, who's our real father, our real mother, can't be satisfied. So now, before talking about the next verses, I'd like to show you a little analysis here on the board. Verses 6 and 7, what is religion? Paradharma. Verse 8, what religion is not? What is Kaitava Dharma? Without Krishna. 9 to 10 describes religion for sense gratification. This is kicked out. Again, Kaitava Dharma. Human life is for inquiry into Brahman. 11, the goal of religion. 12, the realization, how the devotee realizes the absolute truth. 13, the perfection of Dharma to please Hari. 14 to 22 is Bhakti, from Shada to Prema, or how to act once you understand what is the goal, how to act in your relationship with Lord Krishna. How to practice Paradharma. So I'll read the next verse. You can be copying if you like. Savai punsam parotarmo yato bhaktir haksje huitukiyapatiyata yayatma supersedeti. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So this verse and the next verse are the answers to the first two questions of the sages. What is the ultimate good for the people? What is the essence of all scriptures? So if you like, you can look on your paper, or otherwise you can read it at home. I'll just read some of the definitions Srila Prabhupada gives. Many, many times he talks about dharma in his lectures, again, 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 again. So these are the things, the different definitions that Prabhupada gives. Some are from this verse. He often quotes this verse. Some is from the purport, and some are from other lectures and other sources. So Srila Prabhupada says, dharma means a particular characteristic which you cannot change. Just like sugar is sweet, water is wet. We hear this all the time. Chili is hot, and we, living entities, are servants. So this is the characteristic which you cannot change. Then next, it says, dharma is enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this dharma, this service, is given to us by Krishna. He gives the laws of religion. And this is the end of your sheet. It says, Tarmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. So this explains how religion is given by Krishna. This is in the sixth canto, this quote. And then Krishna comes to establish dharma. Dharma Sangstapanartaya. This is from Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter. Therefore, Bhagavat is explaining the nature of dharma. What is dharma? Savai pungsam paro dharma. What leads to bhakti, that is dharma. Whatever you're doing, if it leads to bhakti, then that is real religion, Bhagavad dharma. So Bhagavad dharma, our relationship with God, and how to act in that relationship, that is also dharma, Bhagavad dharma. So now in the purport, paragraph 2 also, there's a definition. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupational, as occupation, because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. So our occupation is what sustains us. Actually, we work, we have an occupation for our sustenance, for our maintenance. So our real occupation is servant. So we may serve in the material world to maintain our body, but real service is service of Krishna, and that's because we need our spiritual sustenance. This is the main thing, because that's who we are. So Prabhupada explains in the purport who sustains our existence. Prabhupada says Krishna is a central pivot of living beings. He's all attractive. Everyone, each and every living being has his eternal form and spiritual world, and Krishna is the eternal attraction. So Prabhupada says, this relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. So to sustain, to really sustain our existence, we must connect with Krishna by service. Prabhupada explains, there are two kinds of service. There is para dharma and apara dharma. And these are the different characteristics I've just written. You don't have to copy this or anything, but just for your information, a little comparison of para dharma and apara dharma. Apara means spiritual, superior, eternal, pertaining to the soul. And apara means temporary, material, inferior, pertaining to the body, mind, and intelligence. Prabhupada explained in one lecture that there are bodily occupations, the occupation of the body, occupation of the mind, and occupation of the intelligence, and occupation of the soul. So in the lecture, he said karma yoga is occupation of the body, jnana yoga, occupation of the mind, dhyana yoga, occupation of the intelligence. But bhakti yoga is the occupation of the soul. Of course, later on we'll hear how you can also make all of these bhakti yoga by dovetailing them for Krishna. And this will be tomorrow in verse 13. Whatever you're doing, you can dovetail it for Krishna. And if you don't, then it's shama eva hi kevalam. Of course, this is the 8th verse here. So if you really want peace, you want satisfaction, then you have to do bhakti yoga. You have to do paradharma. This is the message of this verse. So what kind of paradharma? What does it mean? Paradharma, ahetuki, without any motive. Without any motive, no cause. You don't want to get something in exchange. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, natanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadishikamye. So one understanding, no motive, no cause. Srila Prabhupada said, another meaning of this word, ahetuki, is anywhere. You can perform your service anywhere, heaven or in hell. Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to America, he was in a room. It was a closet, had no windows, had no bathroom, had no shower. And he was performing his devotional service. He was lecturing. We need so many facilities, microphone, everything to lecture. He was lecturing. He was speaking. The first recordings of Bhagavad, introduction to Bhagavad Gita was spoken in this room with no windows, with no bathroom. And he had a trunk. That was his desk. He was sleeping on the floor. So this is Ahituki, causes. He just wanted to follow, to serve the order of his spiritual master. And apratihata means uninterrupted. Nothing can stop your service. It's very similar, actually, to ahituki. Uninterrupted. Your love cannot be checked. Your service cannot be checked, no matter what happens. You may be the poorest person in the world, but you can still serve Krishna. Krishna does not say, okay, you're poor, you cannot serve me. You don't know Vedanta, you can't be my devotee. Even if you don't know Vedanta, even if you don't know Sanskrit, you can still serve Krishna. Even if you're illiterate, even if you can't read, you can still serve Krishna. Actually, here in Vrindavan Temple, there's two boys that come here sometimes, I think in Kartik. They're both in wheelchairs. And their body's completely deformed. They're about 18 to 20 years old, I think. And They're sitting in their wheelchairs. They come from Mangalarti every day. They come from Mangalarti. They have their japamala. They can't really, their bodies can't function. But they're doing their service for Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, I didn't know that. These two boys are actively preaching and writing articles. So, who of us can say that we have such a handicap that we cannot serve Krishna? Whatever, we may say, oh, I can't serve Krishna because I'm poor. I can't serve Krishna because I'm stupid. No. Look at this. Look at these boys. They've really got a handicap, but they're serving Krishna. There's another boy here. He's autistic. He cannot relate to the world. He can't, even his body, he cannot move his body properly. He can speak, and he'll relate with devotees. He's very enthusiastic. Sometimes he'll come and slap some devotee on the back. But this boy, he comes every night for evening kirtan. He's very enthusiastic to chant Hare Krishna. Although he cannot function in the normal world. Normal world, they put him away somewhere in a hospital. But he's chanting. Chanting more than my son's chanting, and my son's completely perfect. But anyway, there was another boy in Bombay. He's deaf. He was deaf. And he became devotee. He started chanting Hare Krishna. And then after associating with devotees for some time, he started to speak. Oh, he had not spoken since his birth, just by devotees' association. Desire. He was preaching to deaf people. When I was traveling in Europe, there's another girl in Germany. She's also deaf, and she had her guru told her, you have to write your rounds. So it took her 3 hours to chant to write her 16 rounds. So there's no handicap. We think we have problems. I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that. But actually, there are so many examples of devotees who, despite the utmost odds, apratyata, their service is causes. There's no stopping their service. So who's to stop us? And if you have such devotion, ahituki pratyata, then yayatma supersedity, you're satisfied. This will satisfy. Then you'll know. You'll know when you're satisfied, then you'll know your devotion is coming to the pure stage. Verse 7. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga piyojita janayatyashivairagyam gyanam chayarahaitukam. By rendering devotional service to the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So again, Prabhupada explains how bhakti for the pure devotees, for the advanced devotees who are anxious to get in contact with the Lord, it's very, very nice, it's sublime, it's relishable. And for the neophytes who are on the threshold of the house of bhakti, it's easy. So bhakti is for everyone. It's a science. It's open for the shudras, vaishyas, women, even those who are lower and shudras. So what to speak of the Brahmins? As in the Chaturshloki, it says, sarvada, sarvatra. Everywhere and anywhere, you can perform bhakti. And such a 10-page purport, Prabhupada's explaining all the conditions, all the living entities. Everyone can do bhakti, even the insects, Prabhupada says. There's a quote from the Puranas. It says, the insects can do bhakti. So this is very amazing. We heard in one Gita class just recently, a spider was serving Lord Ram. Or a squirrel was serving one of them, a squirrel or a spider. And if you actually have tasted bhakti, what is the result? Vairagya and jnana. Jnana and vairagya, they are the children, they are the sons of Bhakti Devi. Vairagya means that you have eaten, actually. When you eat, you're satisfied, then you know, okay, I don't need to eat anymore. So, if you have tasted love for Krishna, you're satisfied. You don't need anyone to tell you. You don't need to go anywhere else for your satisfaction. Just like a child. A child, when he's small, he plays with so many toys. But when he grows up, those same toys don't attract him anymore because he's gone to a higher level of existence. So the devotee, he's gone to a higher level of existence. Prabhupada used to always say, just see these American Europeans, they've given up illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. They don't need it anymore. He says, even if you pay them, they won't go. Prabhupada said, when I was young, someone wanted me to go to the cinema, and he was going to pay, of course, but I wouldn't go. He's trying to drag me. says, even if you pay them, they won't go. So this is vairagya. And here again we have the word, what kind, how does this come? Ahaituki, it's causeless. Now we have the word ahaituki in two verses, this verse and the verse before. There is a similarity that they're both causeless, without cause, devotion, but there is a difference also. Can anybody pick up what the difference is in this ahaituki? There's a similarity, they're both without cause, and there is a difference also. Very interesting difference. I don't know, it might be hard to pick it up. It's not, maybe my question isn't so easy or put in the right way, but I'll tell you. So if you worship Krishna, ahaituki, without cause, if your service is without cause, then Krishna will reciprocate without cause. He'll give you jnana and vairagya without cause. So it's like here, you do this, you do some pure devotional service, ahaituki, and you will also get ahaituki. You don't know how, but knowledge is coming. You don't know how, detachment is coming, ahaituki. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Maybe you're illiterate. You can't read books, but you're getting knowledge. So this is Krishna's mercy. You serve Krishna purely. He will give you intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam vachitam pritipurvakam. You serve me with priti, and I will give you the intelligence. There's a beautiful purport to that verse in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says, even the person may not take advantage of the spiritual master's orders, he may not take advantage of the spiritual master's books, still, he can, if he's sincere and devoted, he can get knowledge from Krishna in the heart. 10-10, 10-11, both, yes, 10-10, 10-11. These two, these are Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita verses. Very important verses. So Prabhupada, he had this. Prabhupada had this. Ahaituki apratihata. And one interesting thing to notice, which I found in my studies of this verse, that the Sanskrit of this verse is the same in the third canto, 32nd chapter, verse 23, except for the last line. And there it says, Gyanam yad brahma darshanam. So you get knowledge, detachment, and you see the Lord, Brahma, third canto, 32nd chapter, verse 23. It's the same in the Sanskrit. And you get one more benefit, but one more causeless thing happens to you if you worship Krishna. Brahma darshanam. You will see Krishna face to face. Brahma darshanam. So this is 3, 32, 20, 3. Just reverse the 3 and the 2, and you'll get the end. Verse 8.
Dharma swanastita punsam bishvakshena katasuya nopadayatiriritim shama eva hikevalam.
Occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So dharma swanastita punsam.
The purport. This will be expanded, actually, in Narada's instructions to Vyasadev. Chaktasa tarmam charanam bhajam hare.
Someone may give up his occupational duties, take to devotional service, and even if he fails, there's no loss. And he may perform his duties perfectly according to Varnashram, but if he has no attraction to Krishna, to hearing the message of Vasudev, or Vishvakshena here, it's useless labor. Waste of time. Useless. Shama eva kevalam. You may be a perfect Brahmana, Kshatriya. But if it's without Krishna, it's useless. Again, you have to come back. Again, 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 again. You have to come back and take birth.
So Prabhupada, another very poetic purport about the soul, the need of the soul. Without knowing the need, you simply take care of the cage. You cannot be happy. The need of the spirit soul is he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage, fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light in the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets complete spirit, personality of Godhead. And this is possible only by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. Only any occupational activity which does not help one achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the message of Godhead is simply a waste of time.
Prabhupada says, even these impersonalists, they want to get out also. They want to see the free light in the spirit. But Prabhupada says their activities are also useless. They're useless. Why? Because Prabhupada describes even they get freedom, even they fly very high. But because they don't get shelter of lotus feet of Krishna because of their offenses, avishuddha buddhaya, therefore they must come back. Srila Prabhupada explains there is one bird in India. It's called the fearful bird. I don't know. Anyway, in when I was reading the conversation, there was a big question mark there. So the name of the bird. They had F-I-L-F-I-L. So the person who was taking the translation, they couldn't figure out what Prabhupada was saying. Anyway, there's some sort of bird in India that you have in a cage. Then you take it out into the field. The guy lets it go free. It flies. And then he starts whistling, and the bird comes back and goes back in the cage. So Prabhupada said, the bird is thinking, oh, I'm free, I'm free. Then he starts thinking, oh, how will I eat? Where will I stay? How will I maintain myself? Back in the cage. So the impersonalist, yes. Yeah. It's very empty field. Falcon, I don't know. Okay, and you're making a very beautiful point. It's an empty field. There's no place to go. Yes. There's no trees to perch on, the bird of the Mayavadi philosopher. There's no place to sit. There's no place to stand. There's no relation. Where do you go? You're free. No more bother. No more body. But, you know, what is it? How long can we stay there? The soul wants relationship. The nature of the soul is service. So how can you live in this atmosphere? So useless. Without attraction to chanting and hearing message of Krishna, then it's useless. As we heard before, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said simply, hear. Ratim. So this rati, this is the test. Again, another test. If we're actually trying to satisfy Krishna, then we will feel some attraction to hearing the message of Krishna. Then we go to verse 9. A big process here. Tarmasya hyabhavargasya nartortha yupakapate nartasya tarmaikantasya kamola payahi smitaha. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So here, dharma, generally people, they go to church, dharma, they're religious for a purpose, artha. We want some bread or we want some material gain. Please cure my son. Please let me pass the exam. Please give me some money. Please keep me healthy. So dharma for artha, for gain. And then once we get money, we get our money, what do we do with it? Artha is for kama, for enjoyment. Dharma is for artha, artha is for kama. But here, beginning of this verse, it says, no, dharma is for apavarga. Dharma is for moksha. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma is for apavarga, for getting out of this material world. We discussed once already the pavargas, pa-pa, ba-bha, ma. In the material world, people are struggling hard, parishram, so hard that pa, fena comes out of their mouth. And at the end, frustration, vyartata. And even though they're working so hard, they're afraid, bhaya. And ultimately, they meet with ma, or death, mrityu. So here, Sutta is saying that religion should not be for pavarga, should not be for making a happy situation in this world. It should be for apavarga, for getting out of this material world. That is the purpose of dharma. Na artaya upakalpate. It is not for artha. It is not for getting money. So then, an artha is not for kama. So Prabhupada tells a little story, I'll just be very brief, about people. They think spiritual life, also you should renounce your artha and come to Vrindavan. Prabhupada, when he was living here in Vrindavan, before he went to America, He was saying that there are many people who come to Vrindavan and they think, okay, artha is not for dharma. Well, okay, I'll leave my money and I'll come to Vrindavan. He says, no, artha is also for Krishna. He says, they come to Vrindavan. And he says, but Krishna is very intelligent. He's asked, oh, you've come to Vrindavan. Where's your money? What have you done with your money? He said, yes, you've kept your money for your children and you've come to love me with your beads. And Prabhupada said, so you remember that? Yeah. This is Prabhupada. So we have to, yeah, I won't get into the story. It's very short time here. So the point is that your dharma, your artha, your kama, everything should be for Krishna. Of course, here in these verses, we haven't got to that point yet. Dharmasya apavarga. So at least for liberation, there is a warning here by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Na artasya dharmakantasya. If you are in spiritual life, if you are following dharma, don't use artha for enjoyment. Especially in Vrindavan. Especially in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was lecturing on this verse in Vrindavan, 1972. Radha Damodar says, if you take something here in Vrindavan and you try to use it in the name of religion, you try to enjoy, you will certainly become a hog, a dog, or a monkey. Your next life here in Vrindavan, you'll become a bijbasi, but not the way you want to be. It will be in a different way, a different form. This is a lecture on first canto, second, this verse, first canto, second chapter, verse 9, Vrindavan 72. This is, many times he said this, many. When I was here in 72 also, he told us, he warned us, because we were like almost the first devotees who came to Vrindavan. There was no facility, so we couldn't really enjoy that way. There were no rickshaws. We had to walk everywhere. Every day we were living in Keshigat. We'd have to go to Radha Damodar for, but before Bhagavatam class, we had to come all the way here for Harinam to Raman Reti every day. Before Bhagavatam, we come here, and then we'd go back to Damodar temple for class. And so there were no rickshaws. And even if there were, we didn't have money for rickshaws. But so those were the early days. And rickshaw was only 1 rupee or something, but we didn't have the money. We were so poor in the early days, so poverty-stricken. We didn't have 1 rupee for a rickshaw. Even if you did have a rupee, there weren't any, hardly. So anyway, don't try to enjoy. But so then we may think, okay, but I've got kama, what do I do? So next verse tells you. Kamasya nandaya pritir labo jivata yavata jivasita tvajigyasa nartayas cheha karmabhi. Life's desires should ever be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Okay, so you have kama, that's okay. You can satisfy your senses, you take Krishna prasad, you chant Hare Krishna, and that way you can live hundreds of years, according to Ishapanishad, if you live properly, if you live according to the rules and regulations of bhakti. We have these demands, but don't spoil it by overindulgence, as we heard in the first chapter. If you overindulge sense gratification, then you lose your vitality. You lose it. You're finished, even at a young age. Because our real business is tattva jigyasa. And this verse, again, is a commentary. This is a direct commentary in Vedanta Sutra, this verse, according to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Always, he'll quote this verse. He'll quote the line, jivasya tattva jigyasa. The life, this human form of life, is meant for inquiring into the absolute truth. This is a direct commentary on the first verse of Vedanta Sutra. Om atato brahma jigyasa. Atato, now. Now what? Now you have this human form of life. Now you have extra intelligence. Now what should you do? You should inquire. Atato brahma jigyasa. Inquire about the absolute truth. Don't waste time trying to be happy in this world. It's not possible. You only have a certain amount of happiness, a certain amount of distress. So don't waste your human form of life in that way. Just like Rishabhdev says, Nayam deha deo pajam niloke. Don't waste it. Don't go for the things the cats and dogs go for. Go for something else. Tasyeva heto prayateta kovida. You so many lifetimes you spent like that. So many millions of lifetimes. Now this life, you'll be serious about Brahman, Brahma Jigyasa. Jivasya, Tata Jigyasa. Now you've got this human form, use it properly. This is the message of this verse. Direct commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Ask, who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Cat and dog cannot ask this question. This question doesn't come in their minds. Only where to find food, where can I sleep, where can I have sex, where can I, how can I fight, whole day fighting. It's their only thoughts. So our thoughts should not be on that level. Our thoughts should be, where is Krishna? How can I find Krishna? Where is, what is the truth? What is my relationship with Krishna? These are the questions. These are relevant questions, like Sutta Goswami said, Sadhu, Sadhu, Krishna, Samprashna. Prabhupada says the end of the purport, seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because he'll be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. So to summarize, we should always be conscious of our duties to Krishna, whether or not they are leading us to attraction, to hearing and chanting. We should analyze our lives, be introspective. Is this leading me to hearing attraction for hearing and chanting for Krishna? Is this giving me attraction for hearing and chanting? Is this leading me to bhakti? To bhaktir hoksaje. And we should not use the fruits of our bhakti for enjoyment. This is another lesson being taught in these verses. We can't change our destiny, it's fixed. But we can change our Krishna consciousness. We can change our consciousness. This is what we can change. So this is a message. You change your consciousness. You can beg for the mercy of Krishna, the Acharyas. So Bhagavata says, as I said before, Tasaiva heto prayate te kovido. You're intelligent, you're learned, you're searching for the essence. Then you're Paramahansa. Then you're on the right track. The devotees are param dishtva nivartate. They try to see the param in everything. So this is the message, the purpose of life, purpose of dharma, to inquire about the absolute truth, get sambandha gyan, and enter in your relationship with Krishna, act in your relationship, and attain love of Godhead. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? A little longer today. In short time. Tried to cut it. I cut it by 3. So any questions? You have a question? Yeah, so we spent a little bit more time, I know. Tried to spend more time on them. So that we can just understand, because Prabhupada gets into the Sanskrit in these verses so much. And I think even if you take just one verse, you can preach on it for 1 hour, Savaipung Sampatarma, those 2 verses. You can preach to somebody. Ahai tuki patiyata. No. Not these 8, 9, 10. In Bhagavad Gita, 8, 9, 10, 11 are Chatushloki, Bhagavad Gita. Because we quoted Chatushloki, Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam. These verses are not Chatushloki. That will be in the second canto, 9th chapter, verses 34, or is it 33 to 36. Yeah, 33. Yes, question, comment. Vishakapriya. Ahaitki. Yeah. First verse, without cause. Right. Right. Ahaituki. The knowledge, the causes part means ahaituki. Causeless knowledge. So causeless means ahaituki. My point was that if we are ahaituki in our service, then Krishna, we will also get reciprocation from Krishna, which is also ahaituki. Means ahaituki, jnana, and vairagya. Jnana and vairagya, we are without cause, without motive. Causeless service, pure devotional service. Then on Krishna's side, there is causeless knowledge, causeless detachment. These things come automatically. Another way you could say is automatically, without cause. Of course, the cause is Krishna. But we can't, the way Prabhupada explains it is that we can't figure out what is the cause. Just without our even deserving, means we don't deserve it. But it comes causelessly, comes ahituki, it comes without cause. Causeless, yeah. Yes, absolute knowledge. It can also mean that. Yeah, that's a good point. Very good, yes. Divyambar. Atmarama verse, okay. Atmaramas tumunayo. Kurvanta haitukim bhaktim. Oh, good. Right. Bhukti Mukti City. This is first canto, 7th chapter, verse 10. Abhirama verse. It is also has the word Ahaituki at the end of the verse, Ahaituki Bhakti. And Prabhupada in the purport says there are many causes for sense gratification. Okay? Okay, so our causeless devotional service should be without motivation for a bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. These three things. In our own lives, how to practically apply verse 6. Yeah, okay. So her point is, if I'm feeling dissatisfied with my service, I should look for the cause, why I'm doing my service. What is my motivation for my service? Okay? And work on that. It could be the problem. That it's not a Haituki and it's not a Pratihata. Why we're not satisfied. Madhavendra Puri Prabhu.
Sometimes on a higher level,
can that be? Yes, I am anugrinami. Well, he doesn't disappear. Our wealth disappears. Everything we have disappears. Yeah, everything else disappears but Krishna. Then we have to find Krishna. Our whole scene vanishes like a mirage. And we're left. What are we left with? If we're a devotee, we're left with Krishna. Then we have to search. Okay, where's Krishna? Yeah. Arvinda Sarup Prabhu. Yes.
About the holy name.
Offenses.
It says that despite knowing it, right. It says actually innocent.
Innocent. When you first join.
Naturally a taste for everything.
Yes, and you get a taste. Then offenses sneak in.
It says when the taste goes away.
Then the taste goes when we start. Oh, that's a very good analysis. When we begin, we're innocent. We have nice taste. Oh, we're attracted. Then we think, I thought the devotees are all yogis. You know, they have mystic powers. And you think the devotees are so great, and then you start seeing mistakes and defects, and you make offenses, and then the taste goes away, and then so this is the problem. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's saying. So he's putting the responsibility for the loss of taste on ourselves. He's saying, in a higher level, of course, Krishna may do that to his devotee, but in a lower level, we may do it. To ourselves. Text 2 of this chapter. Okay. Right. Vaishnava is superior to Brahmins. Certain qualities. Shamo dhamma tapa shocham. Yes. Okay, the question is, how can we understand that a Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmin? Sometimes we see the Vaishnavas are not exhibiting even the behavior of a Brahmin. And so Prabhupada's answer to that would be, he would always quote this verse, Apichet Sararacharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak, that even though he's performing the most abominable activities, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly. Now, of course, the examples that Prabhupada gave for that were that, you know, he may not be following strictly all the Vedic rules for cleanliness, or he may have some bad habits. These are the examples that Prabhupada was giving, and people in the Vedic culture will criticize, oh, we are following all these rules nicely and we are pakka. And this is again going to this verse, they may be following dharma perfectly, but shama evi kevalam if there is no Krishna. So a Brahmin, he may be following perfectly. He may have all the Narada Muni, there's so many verses, Narada Muni says, he may have all the six qualities, all the symptoms of a Brahmin. But if he's not a devotee, then he's lower. He said, even a dog eater, if he is following, he can be guru. And a Brahmin who's not following cannot be guru. There's a verse like that. Shapacho. Even a shapacho. Yes. Even if he's an honest family man. Perfect mystic yogi. Yes, the mind will carry him away. He has no good qualities. Prabhupada was very, very strong, yes. Who may not follow strictly medical rules. Okay? Examples. Gaurakishoras Babaji. Yes, he wasn't sober medical. Yes, okay, Jagannath Das Babaji used to take prasad with puppies. Of course. These are high, but these are very high. I don't think This is not. Yeah, that's beyond. Like, what about us? Darshan, you had something? Oh, and after Nishingananda, I'll get you. Point? Nishingananda, you were. Satisfaction. Okay, he's saying devotees never satisfied in his mood of service to Krishna. I need to serve more. I need more service. Okay? That's your comment. Okay. Yes. Brahma Jana Titi Brahmana. Yes, okay. Good point. The Brahmana knows Brahman, but the Vaishnava knows Krishna. That's a very good understanding right there. Thank you. Avadhut Priya. Who? Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Whatever Prabhupada told us, we did. Six occupation. Okay, yes. They're impersonalists, brahmanas. They're impersonalists, so worship the deities. They do panchapasana. They do panchapasana, they worship Vishnu. Yeah, they worship Shalagram, they worship Vishnu. But if you read some stories by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, sometimes they use the Shalagram to crack nuts. So yeah, okay, a real Brahman, actually you can, there's the Brahman without Krishna is the impersonalist. Brahman, he knows Brahman, but still there is a class of impersonalists who worship the deities. And then after their worship is finished, they throw them away. And then once they achieve Brahman, then they throw away their deities. They throw away, they don't worship. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, many worship demigods too. That's also deities. There are many that worship demigods. That's a fact. Yeah. Yeah, they worship demigods, they worship Vishnu. Yeah. Or they see Vishnu as one of the demigods. Usually you see the whole spectrum on the altar. Vishnu is just in there, you know, side by side with Indra, whoever, Durga, Shiva, yeah. Chanaka Pandit was a Brahmin. Yes, Prabhupada quoted many times from Chanaka Pandit. He was a I'm not sure about that, but I know that he quoted a lot. And he gives Chanaka Pandit as the example of someone, how the Brahmin is independent. That he didn't accept anything. Though he was the prime minister, he never accepted a single paisa from the king. And as soon as the first time the king questioned him, I quit. His job. He's independent. Independence of a Brahmin. But of course, the many, many things Chanaka Pandit said that are very relevant for us also. So we take from these places. Maharaj, you're so quiet today.
When you said that, I felt like, you know, this high.
Yeah, they're up to a certain point. Yeah, we take things. We take from the Vedic culture. We take the best from all the paths. From yoga, from karma, from jnana, from even... Everything is included in bhakti. Yashoda, you have a point. Text 8. So she's saying, well, what if somebody reads this verse and they give up their occupational duties for what? Well, what do they do? I mean, giving up their occupation? And just chant and hear. Yeah, this has happened quite a bit. This has happened. But again, you go to the fifth chapter, even if you give up your occupation, you take the devotional service, even if you fail, there's no loss. But first, you keep going back. Chakta sataramam charanam vrijam hare. Narada Muni says there's no loss if you give up your occupation and take to devotional service. No loss. And you do your occupation perfectly, it's useless. Without Krishna. Madhavan Puri. Okay, renunciation. Beware of renunciation and the mode of passion according to Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna's instructions. Beware. Renunciation and the mode of passion. You're telling us the verse, Maharaj? Are you quoting the verse or another one? I don't know the verse myself. Right.
Problematic.
We're hearing the very words that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Adi Purush Puru. Well, it appears that it's... that's a very good question. My understanding was that it's pure devotional service. But actually, jnana and vairagya could come before pure... But then again, pure devotional service, it can be understood in different ways also, para bhakti. that we may be engaged in para-bhakti even before. If we have no motive, if it's uninterrupted, then we may not even have come to nishtha. We may have that quality of service. Stay above. Uninterrupted. Okay, it's a very good question. Madhavendra Puri Prabhu. Actually, someone asked Prabhupada that question in a Gita class. Are your devotees pure devotees? Are your disciples pure devotees? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, just like if you have an electrician and he has an assistant, and the electrician tells the assistant, you connect the wire like this. And so he connects it. And so you get the result. So he says, if I tell my disciples, you do like this, and if they do it, then that's pure devotion. He said, like that, if we actually follow exactly, of course it's not so easy to follow. It's following by body, mind, and words. Namabhas. Liberated stage. Yes. Okay, by regular chanting we should remain liberated. But there are times when you can perform devotional service that is without motive to the, if you're not a Mahabhagwat. There are devotees who are not on the highest level, but they do perform sincere, unmotivated devotional service. And you can't stop them also. It's like the examples I gave. So they may not be, the fruit may not be ripe. But the fruit is there. It's unripe fruit. Yeah, Shivrindavan. Text 8. The fountainhead of all liberties. Okay. Fountainhead of all liberties. Yeah. Well, liberties, Prabhupada's English is sometimes, we have to see in context, but my first impression about this is of all types of liberation, of all liberated souls, all types of liberation, because there's different types of liberation. Also, it's talking about becoming free in this purport, getting out of this material world. So all freedom, all types of freedom, all types of liberation, Krishna is the goal. He is the fountainhead. So there's of course, there's impersonal liberation, and there's the other four kinds in Vaikuntha. And then there's Vimukti, which is pure, which is your relationship with Krishna, pure devotional service. It's 1 o'clock, last question. Okay. Yeah, okay, so her question is about how can you understand when it's not good to renounce something, is that it? If it's unfavorable to your bhakti, I can't quite get the question, but something is unfavorable to your bhakti, how do you... You want to do some dharmic activity. You're supposed to do it. Makes you... But it impedes your sadhana. So there's a dharma, okay, you want to do some dharmic activity, but it impedes your sadhana. So you have to be intelligent. And if you don't have intelligence, then ask someone who has. You've got, actually, this is what Prabhupada says. The students of the Absolute Truth are overwhelmed with the varieties of in their search for the Absolute Truth. So we may become overwhelmed by the varieties of ways we can serve Krishna. But we have to choose. Okay, so his answer is, his solution is, get more siksha gurus, not diksha gurus, get more siksha gurus, and they'll help you solve your problems. If one doesn't have the answer, another one will. This also might confuse you. One has a different answer. All of them. Okay, so this is Maharaj's advice, in case anyone doesn't know what to do. You can ask Maharaj. He'll be your siksha guru. Okay. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vanshikaupati.